Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
NERSA's new positioning. Essentially, decisions made by NERSA made public following a meeting that was held towards the end of July. And essentially, it does seem as though Eskom had actually applied to the regulatory clearing account, determination there of 23.9 billion rand for the year, asking that the regulator had approved about 8.1 billion rand though. But it does essentially speak to the methodology at which electricity tariffs are actually calculated and how it is that we can go about them. We've got a deal now on the line. Ntate Ntshabeleng, thank you for joining us. We are operating from a new studio, so bear in mind, we're just working through some of the technical gremlins using various resources, but glad that we've got you on the phone. Welcome back to Kaya Biz.
Thank you so much. And how are you doing?
Keeping well, thank you. The lights are on, the heaters are warm, the markets are at a bloodbath, but at least we've got power. I'm not too sure how long for.
Half a year. It's almost a long period. We've had, 130 plus days?
Yeah.
Incredible achievement, yeah.
And it is an incredible... And maybe let's reflect on that, because I do recall, Adele, speaking to you very often here on Kaya Biz, where we were, you know, evaluating, you know, whether or not load shedding was warranted. And you were one of the vocal speakers who actually said, hold on, there is a solution to this and there are certain interventions that need to be made. What are your reflections, I guess, firstly, on the minimized impact of load shedding that we've had over the last 3 months?
I think as we predicted, it's actually spot on that we could have ended load shedding within 6 months. It was proven, like, since last year when the effort took off to turn the corner around and make sure that they... And then from there, what they did is recover all the grid reserve that were required. You know? So from this year, I think it was, a month before the election, everything went into overdrive because, you know what, they were facing a catastrophic election outcome if they didn't end load shedding. So they had to prove that they could do it, and they did it. And to show that this thing was not some God-made disaster, this was actually a man-made, situation. Mm-hmm. So they ended load shedding, kept above, and literally, because most of the critics were saying that soon after the election, load shedding is going to return. Based on the fundamentals that have been applied, which means that the power stations have been repaired, the maintenance has been kept up to its level, and they've actually increased it in terms of the amount of breakdowns have been reduced to now below 9,000, which is a major, major breakthrough from 18,000 to 16,000 average at some point to now having shaved it from 16,000 to recovering 7,000 megawatts, which is now giving South Africa a comfortable cruising space of 35,000 megawatts of available electricity at any given time. It has never been seen in the last 5-7 years, literally, since load shedding started. So the fundamentals have been applied. We've got now power restored. Power stations are working. And it has even done away with that whole allegory that says that old power stations must be shut down. The current best performing power stations are old power stations, by the way, which are over 60 years old. And there was a talk about literally mothballing them as well as shutting them down because they've reached an age of life. So all of that nonsense has been dispelled because technology is technology, engineering, machinery is machinery. To keep it up to its standard, it functions and it works perfectly. But remember, there was a Philist agenda. There was an agenda to impose renewable on the backbone of shutting down coal, which means coal was supposed to be replaced with wind and solar. That agenda unfortunately failed because was the world coming into a global crisis of energy where there was energy markets collapsing across because of Ukraine and Russian conflict, where Russia pulled away its supply for gas throughout the whole of Europe. And Europe had to literally go back on its promises of keeping up and making sure that they can shut down, your coal and everything. They had to rebuild, they had to repower back, as well as restart their coal power stations in order to provide electricity. So that entire green movement of saying we're moving away from fossil fuel, we're going to be embracing new renewable energy technologies, completely collapsed around the world. Mm-hmm. And even in South Africa, with that move to say we are no longer going to be dependent on fossil fuel, your coal, as well as your diesel, completely crashed because we all realize that this is not a workable solution. Mm. There's nowhere in the world where there is a renewable solution that is powering an economy.
100%, especially because economy does need to be industrialized there. I hope you get that cough sorted out, Adil. It's been chilly, so hopefully we don't want you getting sick for too long.
Absolutely.
Definitely. But on that note, Adil, number one, I also do want to talk about the sustainability of the model that we're currently working on in terms of the relief of load shedding, just in terms of how sustainable that is, especially from a cost implication point of view, because from what we do see, there's been a bit of a back and forth between Eskom and NERSA, where it's trying to claw back some lost revenue by implementing higher tariffs. And we know from a consumer point of view, we're already feeling the pressure and the pinch, and we have been disgruntled.
Absolutely. I think on the NERSA side of it, NERSA was right to say to Eskom that you can't be clawing back over 23 billion in terms of revenue from, currently an environment of consumers who are currently overburdened. Remember, every time NERSA increases the revenue tariff, it means somebody has to pay for it. In this case, it has to be paid for by consumers, which means the tariff is going to go up and then actually burden further the most poor and most disadvantaged in our society. So I think giving them an 8.1 billion increase was not a bad thing. It was not overall. They didn't get everything they required, which was 23 billion. They got under just about 40% of their requested revenue, which is fantastic for now, because they have to claw back some of the costs that they've been imposing on it. The other part of it is, I think NERSA is actually in the right position to say, since you've been saving on diesel, you've been saving on your expenses, on overpaying for certain of your coal contracts and everything, the reserve that you've created on there can be used to now plug in the hole that has been created as a result. So Eskom is not running out of revenue. They just wanted a particular level of revenue in order to show up some of their losses that they've been incurring on, for instance, paying for solar and wind, which they didn't need, because those are exact costs. They're taking about 30 to 40% of Eskom's revenue, and we're not getting benefit out of it. So some of these things are rationally based. It's not based on an emotion to say, we're going to deny you an increase in terms of revenue, clawing back, but we're giving you something that we think within this range is actually acceptable. So I think NERSA did the right decision by not giving an overall full revenue recovery for Eskom, but making sure that Eskom can work within its budgetary constraints. And not only that, they must go internally and find another solution of getting more money recovered back on some of their losses that they are incurring on non-revenue generating units of their companies that they are currently doing. For instance, paying for the solar, which we don't really get any benefit from. They don't even have any distribution of the solar in the generation. So they're paying for something that is subsidized by consumers.
I'm glad you mentioned this, because I was about to ask if, again, we as consumers will still be feeling the pinch anyway through additional support from National Treasury.
No, National Treasury already pumped in 260-odd billion, I mean 61 billion, into Eskom. So that money is actually, unfortunately, just used to pay for the interest that is being accumulated on the debt of Medupi and Yakosile. So as a result, we're not really seeing the benefit of whatever Treasury is, the cash injection, because that injection is not going towards building brand new power station. It's not going towards capitalizing certain assets within Eskom. Actually, it's just paying for pure interest, which is quite a wasteful expenditure in a way, Eskom should be focusing on ensuring that it builds new assets. In my view, they should be building brand new power stations, which are coal, which are gas, as well as nuclear-based, and then add hydropower plants. And then when the private sector market, which is something nobody wants to discuss, if the private sector market wants renewable and solar, please build it in an entire different solution and offering. It should not be dependent on subsidies from government. Right now, we are using revenue that is paid by consumers to subsidize something that is not producing electricity for the economy.
Adil, on that note, I'm so intrigued. I've been seeing a lot of updates from a large number and contingent of mining houses who have been investing heavily in solar and wind farms. And as we see, also generating a lot of that energy and electricity for themselves, but also looking to distribute it into the local municipalities that they operate in. How do you see that working? Is that a great level of private sector involvement and participation? But more so, distribution is also what we need to sort out. How do you see that playing out?
No, they're all lying. there's not a single private sector mining company that is actually producing electricity.
A deal. There's a number of them. We see the updates of the investments that they make into some of these companies. Are you saying that's not true?
Announcement means nothing. You can make an announcement and make public pledge as well as commitments towards a program. But building something that functions and operates, there's not a single power plant. This is what we do daily. We assess ourselves. We know what is operational. We know what is on the ground. Most of these things are pledges for what they call them. It's actually balance sheet pledges. We're going to be offsetting, for instance, our carbon contribution footprint with building a brand new solar power plant. But the building part never happened. It does a pledge on a power, on a what do you call it, on a dice PowerPoint by a presentation deck in order to appease the investors. But the building never happens. So only one mine that is operating its independent electricity production that has got its own power generation capacity using either wind or solar, and that is independent from Eskom. Not a single one. So it's all pledges made.
Yeah.
It's all promises made, but none of it ever translates towards reality of offsetting the carbon that they promised. You know why? Because it sounds nice to investors when they hear that a particular mine will be building, say, 200 megawatts worth of electricity. And that electricity, you know where the truth comes in. They then say to Eskom to say, you will take or pay this electricity. If not, we're not going to build. That's number one, which means Eskom will have to trade it during the day when they don't really need it. You need power on critical times, which is your peak point, which is your peak generation level, because Eskom has already provided for its ordinary cycle, you know, normal base load, all right? But when it comes to peak load where you need extra resources, where which is your peak energy, that is where Eskom has to pay a bit of a premium in order to make sure that there is a supplied peak for your generation when the economy is needing most of that electricity, which if you don't have available, you then have to now literally cause what we call load shedding. So most of these things are literally, you know, public relations pledges. They just make lots of promises. They lie openly, and then nobody follows up with it, and nobody ever. Show me one mine.
I'll tell you what, and you're right. There are quite a few that have made pledges recently and have said that they'll open up in 2025 and the years that are yet to follow.
Call
but
one
we
of
will,
CEOs.
We will follow up. I promise you on this one, Adil. And we'll
one
sit and journey in this together. There's a
call one CEO of a mine and say, show me where you've put up a plan which you've promised and how is it operating.
100%. Adil, we'll give you feedback on that one and we'll invite you back to the show so that we can debate this even
thank
further.
Thank you so much.
Always
no,
a pleasure.
Me, don't worry, I'm used to it.
You know, I know, but that's why we need you on board, right? Because conversation is always what we're about. Such a pleasure speaking to you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so
get
much.
Some postal or some cough mixture, something there.
I'm
just
doing
to
my
take
best. Yeah, I'm doing that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Adil. That is Adil Ntshavheleng, who's an independent energy expert, giving us some great feedback just to understand the complexity that Eskom and NERSA were going through. Essentially, NERSA really working on our behalf, saying, hold on, Eskom, you can't try to recover some losses by increasing tariffs substantially in order to cover some losses that you've experienced. So let's just certainly hope that we as consumers and taxpayers won't see the full end result of this through higher contributions from National Treasury.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.